Everyone, I'd like to welcome you to Ohio Exopolitics. It's 4:29 p.m. Eastern on the 29th of September, 2020, and I have a very interesting clip here for you to listen to.
Technology. I'm not talking about technology that we know about. I'm not talking about AI that we know about. It's far, far more.
It's obviously an interdimensional imprint, a transmission that they're dialed into. As you state, they're genetically resonating with it.
Yeah, but this is the point. Because they are not consciousness in the way that humans are consciousness. They can't get out there to the great beyond of inspired insight and knowing and awareness, etc. They have to manipulate us who can to build our own prison.
By the way, here's an example. A bunch of top scientists, David, came to Bill Gates and others and said, phones, smartphones will be the future. And Gates didn't believe it and blocked it. And it shows like some of these top guys are like super stupid, I'm told, when you really actually talk to them. And people say they're like robots. They do the same thing every day in the same order. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. They're not free-flowing consciousness. They are a very, very, my God, beyond anything we can imagine in the human world now, a very, very advanced form of AI. This is why they have no compassion and they have no empathy and why they're psychopaths. And this is why they have no emotional consequence for anything they do. Therefore, there's no fail-safe mechanism of human behavior, which is empathy. They don't have that. So you look at Gates. He has been majorly involved in orchestrating the last few months of this fake pandemic, which has created death, destruction, and human catastrophe all over the world. He wants to use that to vaccinate every man, woman, and child with vaccine contents that, in part, first of all, it's going to have a sterilization.
Well, that's what I was going with next. We have the mRNA that isn't a regular vaccine, goes in and reprograms the body, and they admit makes you GMO, and they admit makes almost everybody sick. What the hell's going on there?
Well, the idea of the Gates vaccine, a part of it is a sterilization kind of operation, because they want the end of humans, say human 1.0. what we have now. They want an end to that. So they don't want procreation of that because they want to end it. They want to go to humans 2.0, which is an expression of this big emerging scientific discipline now called synthetic biology. That's what these people are. They're synthetic biology. Because to these people, I've been writing about this for decades.
And by the way, that's not your opinion. Just like all the GMO companies make a seed that grows a plant that doesn't make new seeds, that's not even really what the plant was. So nothing can continue to regenerate. It's got to come out of a corporate system. They want to play God.
Yeah. Biology to these people is a form of technology. And they manipulate it on the basis of that. And so what you are looking at with this vaccine, this is why they want it in every man, woman, and child on the planet, are nanobots, self-replicating nanobots to change the nature of the human body. And in the end, procreation will be done technologically, in a laboratory, if you like, just as Aldous Huxley described in Brave New World in the 1930s. And to do that, they want an end to human 1.0. So what they're doing in this vaccine is meeting two of those criteria. One, stopping the procreation through sterilization agents. I mean, this is why sperm counts are absolutely plummeting, especially in the West. Absolutely. And on the other side, these self-replicating nanobots, which are in a gel, which is well talked about by people who've been on the inside, and that's to transform the body.
I remember you interviewed people 20-something years ago that said they would put gel on them that would go into their body.
Yeah, well, this is what people from the inside, people who've worked inside FEMA and others.
But now it's out in the open.
Yeah, it's coming. Yeah, because you can read scientific papers on it about the properties. But you look at the vaccine, you look at it, the DNA manipulating nature of the actual way the vaccine is inserted into the cell, and you put all this together, and what I'm describing is becoming now in your face. As they move us more and more to this synthetic biological human, what are they doing? They're moving us closer and closer to what they are, biological.
Exactly. They are ending humanity. They are terraforming us into their planet.
Yeah, it's what I've been calling it for decades, the assimilation. Now, we don't have to do that because we have to be manipulated into building our own prison.
Let's just stop there. We're literally not hypothetical now. We are now being openly assimilated. The Wall Street Journal, the NBC says the end of humanity, we're going to make you be a cyborg, it's for the earth, carbon's bad. They're saying what we are is bad, total fraud. Yeah. This is so heavy. So now it's gone from total denial below the surface to out in the open. This is going to be one incredible time to be alive, David.
Yeah, because what happens is, you see, when you are manipulating below the surface under the radar, you can say, this is a load of rubbish, that's a conspiracy theory. But when it comes and we're there, where it has to break the surface and become a part of life that people can see, you go from hiding it to selling it. And so now they're selling it. Oh, this is the great new human. Oh, this will save the world. You'll be like the gods. And this is why, as I make the point very, very strongly in my new book, The Answer, that what is being...
By the way, David, you agree. I only wanted you for 30 because I know you're busy. You ended up doing an hour. Do a three-minute break. Come back. Talk about...
Synthetic biology. This is maybe where we see things like the rise of the robot people, which is described in Contact 251 of the Meyer material. I thought I would start out and read a little bit more in Contact Report 250. And it's talking about UFOs and some of the things we see in the air and what they are and what they aren't. So this is starting at line 65 of Contact Report 250. Some of these constructions have flight abilities that go far beyond the normal understanding of terrestrial humans and mock the normal aircraft construction, as well as the normal flight abilities of normal terrestrial airplanes. These missiles also have forms that do not correspond to those of known airplanes, which is why they appear strange. For these reasons, when observed by the uninitiated, they are not recognized as earthly constructions and are consequently referred to as UFOs, unidentified flying objects. However, this also includes observations which have no contact whatsoever with such objects, but which can be traced back to cloud formations, as well as swarms of insects or birds, or to natural atmospherical or gaseous luminous phenomena. Also, undersea gas escapes, which cause the water to bubble at the sea surface, as well as sensory illusions in balloons, kites, zeppelins, and normal airplanes, or light and ultralight airplanes, etc. With all these things, which appear frequently, it should be absolutely clear that they are not interplanetary flying objects, and thus not identified as flying objects of extraterrestrial human life forms. If we consider a further form of terrestrial flying objects, which are considered UFOs, and which are not of an extraterrestrial origin, then we have to speak of those flying machines which originate from terrestrial future in terms of their dimensions to the space-time continuum prevailing here. That's one of the things, I guess, that I see from time to time in the Meyer information, where it says that our ships from the future sometimes come back to this time period to study it. And it probably is because things are so strange right now, which I would agree with. So we are dealing with flying bodies of earthly origin, but built in a dimension of the future on Earth, whereby Earth people living there in the future have found the ways of time travel, and whereby it becomes possible for them to travel back into their own past, and thus also into the present time of Earth. You know, the past, traveling into the past is really bizarre from my way of looking at things, because we think of those things as being gone. You know, that time is gone. You know, but somehow we are able, somehow the past is always there. Otherwise, I don't see how you could travel back to it. So the visitors are not extraterrestrial intelligences either, but also inhabitants of Earth whose technology is many centuries, sometimes even thousands of years into the future ahead of the present time of Earth people and in the future. Further forms of unidentified flying bodies concern life forms that are actually extraterrestrial and that also belong to this space-time structure prevailing here. Such life forms with their flying objects visit Earth only very rarely, except for three different races which have been flying to the Earth for a long time, apart from us, Plaiaren, of course. Furthermore, Earth is also approached here and there by extraterrestrial human life forms, which happens, however, extremely rarely and is to be counted often in decades or in centuries, which come with their flying objects from parallel spaces or from parallel planes to the space-time continuum predominant here. Like, example, we live in a parallel space which is shifted fractions of a second attached to the space-time continuum here. You know, this is the whole thing about the space-time continuum and the that whole issue, which is shifted space-time, is very strange. It's very similar to our notion of dimensions. Billy says, sorry to interrupt. On the one hand, you talked about Earthlings who live in the future and visit Earth from here. That's what you call time travelers. Pata says, of course. But what should we call those who simply come from parallel spaces? According to your sense, we simply call it transfer or parallel transfer. Billy says, so nothing that would be complicated to say, but just go on with your explanations now. Does it actually happen frequently that people with their flying machines come to us from parallel spaces into Earth? Now that's very rare, apart from us and our allies. In contrast, however, it is more common for bioorganic, now listen to this, this is very important, bioorganic flying objects to appear in this space-time continuum, not only on Earth, but also on many other inhabited and uninhabited world spheres. There are bioorganic flying objects. David Adair has a fantastic story about one he allegedly saw that our U.S. government had found or gotten a hold of. So we observe such bioorganisms, as we call them. They're constructed. It's so bizarre. It's hard to wrap your mind around. They're constructed ships, but they are organic. And they are sentient, at least the ones that I've seen or talked about. So they didn't, you know, at least, now I'm not saying all of them are like that. So it's not like they were born and then grew naturally into something that could fly across the universe. No, they were built by an intelligence that used organic things to create the ship. At least that is what I've seen. There may be truly bioorganic life forms that can travel across space and time. I don't know. I guess I was going to say right here, the dimension changers, as we also call them, are larger and smaller airworthy bioorganic life forms, which are often fluorescent or very brightly radiated and located in a parallel space or a parallel universe. So some of them are just absolutely 100% organic and grew just like a tree or whatever. In their way, they are absolutely harmless and even playful. They often appear individually or in smaller groups, ranging in size from a few meters to several hundred meters in diameter. They live in a parallel space that we have not yet been able to access. Oh boy, now this is interesting because the Plaiaran don't even know about this part of the universe that they're going to discuss. They live in a parallel space that we have not yet been able to access, whose data we know well, but into which we have not yet been able to penetrate in form in order to establish communicative contact with these life forms. It is about the same with the malicious skrulls, with which we can hardly communicate, but which are not flying objects like the dimension changers, but can only move on solid ground and live in a parallel space. Don't ask me what those are. Never heard of that before. Finally, only those extraterrestrial intelligences are to be mentioned who come from the Tao universe and visit Earth. However, this is so rare that this was only the case once during the last 50,000 years when Ascot maintained contact with you for 11 years. Another such contact is not planned. Billy says, sure, I know that, but may I ask a question about the name of what you call your system beyond our space-time structure? Together, we always speak of the Pleiadians, or Plaiaran today, by which we might only which we mean only the distant and punctual place from which you come. For instance, while you name your system differently in our time-shifted parallel space, can we perhaps now speak about it and name the right name, which is almost identical to Pleiadians? Tao says, we've talked about this before and I explained to you that this doesn't have to remain a secret, even though we might want to continue to use the name Pleiades, because that's the way the name got involved. Billy says, but to my knowledge, this conversation is not listed in the contact report. Do we perhaps discuss the outside of the usual contact meeting? Perhaps we discuss this outside of the usual contact meeting. Tao says, that may be yes. Billy says, well then, I will now officially say that you call your star system Plaiaran, but you name the system suns and the planets equally, as we call the stars of the Pleiades in our space-time configuration. Interesting. Tao says, that is correct. And they seem to be changing topics quite quickly here. I don't know, maybe that's a good time to switch from contact report to another topic in the book, The Might of Thoughts, Mach der Gedanken, one of Billy's amazing writings. Billy's incredible book. But what I'm going to quote is actually from the glossary at the end of the book called The Psyche on page 216. It says, power is that which triggers, releases energy. Energy releases power. Might is a factor that is ruling, dominating, controlling something that is above that which is normal. Might uses power and stands above power. The human being has might over himself or not, and the mightiest that exists is the creation, So might uses power. In the might of thoughts, it is the might of the thoughts that cause them to manifest. Remember, negative or positive circumstances develop because of the thoughts. It is not just the neutral positive thoughts that manifest, but the negative ones as well. Mindful thoughts are the kind of thoughts that manifest. So, yeah, you can bring very negative things into your life, particularly by unsatisfaction. And believe me, I may be saying this to you, but I'm also saying it to me. Page 4, in the might of thoughts. And in the conscious use of the might of their thoughts, they show themselves their real and true greatness. Haven't looked at the very beginning of this book in a while. And it has some interesting things in it. It has a glossary with some interesting words. And it has an interesting foreword that I think at the very end has something interesting to say. And this is Elizabeth Mooseberger, and her husband wrote a great book called They Fly, I think it's called. I've got it up there in my bookcase somewhere. It says here in this foreword, so the book which lies before you is dedicated to humankind, which is ill in its consciousness, so that it again finds the creational natural way, which it lost a long time ago. So this is one of the things that struck me when I first started reading this book, that we were ill in our consciousness, which I think is kind of a fair assessment, and it's a bit of a shocker when you think about it as a whole. It really does explain some things. Manifesting thoughts, the might of thoughts, page 8. The human becomes or is just the way he thinks. So we want to think neutral positive thoughts as much as possible. So that means you're going to be equalized and balanced in your thinking. Mocked, might, force, power, sway, clout, authority, strength, prevalence, potency. So might can be defined as power, energy, or intensity, so what we think with might will manifest. Manifest means to display or show. Unfortunately, many people give up their mightful thoughts and subjugate themselves to religious organizations. So don't be submissive. Mighty means possessing great and impressive strength, especially on account of size. Power means the ability to do something or act in a particular way. Fruition is the point at which a plan or project is realized. I also think that thoughts with might are the ones that are carefully thought through at times. So it's good to carefully think through things. Careful attention to detail can help make a thought more successful and powerful. Of course, sometimes a quick, intense thought can be powerful. However, a patient, careful thought can also be powerful. It is good to think carefully on each step or part of a thought. This is from page 8, in the Might of Thoughts book. But exactly this might is of enormous significance. Indeed, it is that which is most important of all pertaining to the thoughts, because only through the might are the thoughts brought to fruition. And then Contact Report 9 has a little bit about religion and subjugation. They do not understand that a religion subjugates a being and makes it dependent on something that stands above them and gives orders or instructions. You know, thoughts have a life cycle too. And if you have a thought, well, let me read page 10 here. It says, however, thoughts without might and power are like a body without vitality, like a fire without warmth, like a word without sense. So let me read a few things I wrote down about thoughts. So we have an idea or a perception, something of that nature. The idea is fertilized, which means it is nurtured, tended, or cared for. Without fertilization, these seeds or ideas would not become real. There is a passage in the Mighty Thoughts that says, a plant sprouts from seed and can therefore not come into existence without it. So maybe the seed is then symbolic of a thought. The plant is said to not be able to come into existence without a seed. Nothing we do in terms of our striving comes into existence without thought. But after the thought is cared for, it becomes animated, or it becomes part of the physical world in some way. The thoughts then develop their own life, exactly like a plant. The thoughts of someone like Einstein and Tesla can last for centuries. The thoughts can last many, many years beyond the physical life of a person that originated those thoughts. Think of the music of Bach, and how many centuries people will hear and benefit from his thoughts, and I must say feelings as well, because these musical ideas gave feelings to him as he played them, and it helped him to understand their significance. The thoughts not only then develop their own life, but their own power and their own might. And I read that somewhere where the thoughts do have their own life, of course. All acts and deeds are the flowers of the thoughts and their monstrous might. Mighty Thoughts, page 10. But once they are animated and created, they develop their own life, exactly like plants. Page 10 again. Thus also joy and sorrow depend on the might of the thoughts, as do love, hate, peace, and unpeace. Modesty or craving for recognition, lies or love of the truth, belief or knowledge. The human being is therefore the smith of his or her own life. A smith is a metal worker. A smith treats metal by heating it, hammering it, forging it. So the blacksmith uses tools, he uses a hammer to bend, to pound, to cut, a very vigorous kind of thing. So when we use the mind of the thoughts, it's a bit like hammering a metal into place, I guess. Whatever the human being is the result of the human being's own thoughts. Well, I'd like to hear you. And a lot of people would probably have an interesting debate on that. I'm glad we found this book so we can get on with things and try to use our thoughts to benefit us. Anyway, you've been listening to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. Have a great day.